Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, December the 26th. Winter is here, and I tell you, Mother Nature is making sure of it. We are having quite a winter, early winter here in the United States. Right here in North Texas, it's 34. You have a really, a drizzle, 34. It feels a lot colder than that. It's supposed to be 31 tomorrow morning when we wake up, heading into the weekend, the New Year's Day weekend. It's supposed to be pretty chilly as well. If you're watching the news, I'm sure you're seeing all the snow up in Erie, Pennsylvania. You're seeing the cold temperatures in the Northeast. So let's just say that winter is here, and Mother Nature is reminding all of us that the seasons changed a few days ago. And frankly, I'm okay with it. Now, I'm not up in the Northeast where the snow and the temperatures are pretty frigid, but here in Texas, we're getting our share of the drizzle and the rain and the chilly temperatures. But I like it because, we spend the whole summer complaining about how hot it is, especially up here. I mean, down here in Texas where it gets 100, we sometimes will have days and days of 100-degree temperatures. So this is kind of nice. It's a little variety. It's a change of pace. I certainly don't have any problem with it. So welcome, winter. Welcome, Mother Nature, and thank you for giving us winter. I like it. I like it a great deal. Well, there's been some good news from the American economy. Christmas sales were pretty good, $33 billion. At least that's the first report. I'm sure there'll be a follow-up report to this. $33 billion, a 6% increase over last year. That's not a bad number at all. So good news from the American economy. It's been actually a pretty good finish here. I wrote a post about this a couple of days ago. It's been a pretty good finish to President Trump's first year. There were many times during the year when things didn't quite look like they were going to work out. But here we are at the end of the year. We have a great justice in the Supreme Court. President Trump has put a lot of good judges in the appellate courts. You have ISIS completely falling apart. Obviously, you have the tax reform, which I think is really going to have a great impact on the American economy. And how do I know that? Because the economist in Germany, you have people in Australia, you have other countries around the world saying that this is going to be good for the United States to cut the corporate tax rates. In fact, a lot of other countries are looking into it too. So I think this tax reform is going to have a very positive impact on the American economy. So it's been a good, let's put it this way. It's been a good 30 days, a good month of December for President Trump and for the country. I mean, when you have good sales, good Christmas sales, that's good for the country. I sometimes think that people politicize this too much. When we had a good month or a good quarter under President Obama, I certainly didn't politicize it. I said, good, because when the economy is doing well, we're all doing well. We all benefit from the American economy. So a good economic news for President Trump today. I have a post over at the American Thinker regarding Cuba. You may be familiar with the story. Raul Castro was supposed to leave in February. He had announced last year that he was going to retire in February, and now they've changed the plan. Now he's going to retire in April. Now, the official explanation is that, there was that big hurricane in whenever it was a couple of months ago, in September, I think it was. And the hurricane was very damaging to Cuba, as it was to Puerto Rico, same hurricane. And there was a lot of damage in some of the tourism sectors. And all that damage and all the repair and all the reconstruction, all of this has impacted the transition. And they're going to delay it a couple of months until they can, get their ducks in a row for the transition. That's the official explanation. I don't buy it. I really don't. I don't buy it. For the simple reason that why would a reconstruction like this be negative to the transition? I don't see it makes it more difficult. I agree with that. But it certainly doesn't make it undoable. I think there's something else going on. And in my post over at The American Thinker, I speculate that, number one, you have a very bad economy in Cuba right now. They have tried different reforms, and the reforms are not working. Look, reforms don't work in a communist country. Just ask Gorbachev. I mean, when he tried to reform the Soviet Union, perestroika, they used to call it, it didn't work because you cannot reform a communist system. The only thing you can do with a communist system is to uproot it and start all over again. There's no reform. There's nothing you can do to reform a communist system. On top of that, Cuba was very dependent on Venezuela for basically subsidized energy. Well, that's not going to work anymore. President Trump has adopted a much tougher policy, certainly a more accountable policy toward Cuba. That was not part of the plan when Raul decided to retire. So it's a tough situation that Raul Castro is going on. But I think there's also another thing going on, and that is a power struggle, I believe, going on between the man that he designated as his successor. He's basically a bureaucrat. He's not somebody that the people of Cuba are that familiar with. He's a bureaucrat. And the other person in the power play is Alejandro Castro, who is Castro's son. But not just his son, but he's also the man who's been running a lot of the foreign investment operations in Cuba and all of that. In many ways, he's sort of been the manager of the family business. This guy, I think, feels very threatened by the bureaucrat that has been designated as Castro's successor. And I think we may be seeing a power struggle here. And I think Raul Castro may be saying, you know what, we're not ready for me to leave. Probably not. The reality is that dictators don't retire. Dictators just don't wake up one day and say, okay, I have to go. My term is up. You know, I'll get in a helicopter and say goodbye to the new one, to the successor, and I'm going to go into the sunset. That's not usually what happens with dictators. Dictators, they either die or they get overthrown or they have to go through a terrible case of what I would describe as just, you know, a transition. And so dictators have a very difficult problem leaving power. And that's one of the reasons, I believe, why this thing is not working out the way it is. So I don't buy the official reason that this is some kind of a transition. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. What I'm seeing here is other problems going on in Cuba, problems that I don't believe are going to be fixed anytime soon. And I think Raul Castro is beginning to realize that and realizing that he really doesn't have an option to retire. That's not really something that he can do. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll come back with more of our program. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, where I said at the beginning of the show, it's a little wintry. It feels that way for sure. It feels very wintry to say the least. We're doing today a little commentary, and we just looked at the Cuba story, my article over at The American Thinker. I've got a new article coming out on Wednesday morning, and this has to do with Peru. Some of you may remember the name Alberto Fujimori. He was president of Peru in the mid-90s. He was a guy who came out of nowhere and became president of Peru. He was very popular. He was hailed by most Peruvians as a very strong leader. You may remember the rescue that he had, big rescue. And I talked about this in the article where there was the Japanese embassy in Lima had been taken over by terrorists, and Fujimori spearheaded a raid on the embassy. It was extremely successful. The thing made him a big hero in Peru. You may remember some of the news reports where Fujimori, the president of the country, was in there singing the national anthem with his soldiers. I mean, it was an unbelievable experience that the country went through. Well, shortly after that, Fujimori fell into disgrace, and he was eventually convicted of fraud, and it was a very tragic end to what could have been, I think, a great political career. Well, a couple of days ago, the new president of Peru, and that's what my article is about, has just pardoned Fujimori, because Fujimori is actually very ill. He's in a hospital and probably not going to live not that much longer. He's got cancer. He's got a lot of other medical problems, and he's been pardoned by the new president of Peru. And obviously, the reaction is what you would expect. A lot of people in Peru hate this man. A lot of people in Peru still love Fujimori. So the response is about what you would expect when you have a situation like this. I actually think the president of Peru did the right thing here. This is, as I say, a dying man. He's already served, I think, half of his term or whatever, and he's going to be dying probably over the next 12 months. So he kind of did a humanitarian thing, and although he didn't pardon him completely of all of his crimes, I think he reduced the sentence so that Fujimori could maybe leave the prison and spend some time with his family. So I think it was a humanitarian thing to do. I understand why he did it. I also understand why people get upset about it. I also understand why Fujimori is so popular. So it's just one of those complicated issues where, you know, both sides probably have something to claim success here. But I'm glad he did it. I think Fujimori is one of those men who did help the country. He did contribute to the country. And for a time there was a great deal of pride in Peru over the presidency of Alberto Fujimori. So as I say, he's not doing well. He's probably going to be dying here over the next year or so. So we wish him well. We wish him well. I don't think there's a speedy recovery coming anytime soon. I think he's a very sick man. So we wish him well. And I do congratulate the president of Peru for making a tough call. These are never easy, these calls. But I think sometimes it pays to be a humanitarian, particularly when you're talking about a man who's dying in the hospital. Big day in history, December 26. A lot of big things happened today. A couple of birthdays we want to say here. Happy number 70 to Carlton Fisk, who's a Hall of Fame catcher. He's obviously forever will be known in baseball history as the man who hit the home run in the bottom of the 12th to win Game 6 of the 1975 World Series. If you're a baseball fan, Carlton Fisk, of course, is the name you'll remember. If you're a Red Sox fan, well, you are. You'll know Carlton Fisk as a great member of Red Sox Nation history. Also today, happy number 78 to Phil Spector, who was a great record producer in the 60s and 70s. A lot of people may not realize this, but he produced the last Beatles album, Let It Be. He was the producer of that album. He was also the producer of George Harrison's My Sweet Lord, which, by the way, became number one on this day in 1970, December 26th, George became the first Beatle to have a number one song in the charts, the first ex-Beatle, I should say, to have a number one song. So Phil Spector, one of the great producers, turned 78 today. Also on this day in 1941, Prime Minister Churchill was in Washington to speak to the Congress. This is just, 19 days after Pearl Harbor. He gave a speech in which he called the United States the arsenal of democracy, a great speech by Prime Minister Winston Churchill, one of the great men of the 20th century. And speaking of two great men of the 20th century, although they didn't start out as people who wanted to be president, but they became president by those fortunes of history, Harry Truman passed away on this day in 1972. He became president in 1945, when FDR died, and he served two terms. It was Harry Truman who had to make the tough decision of dropping the atomic bomb, and I think most historians regard that as the right decision. And on this day in 2006, President Ford passed away. He became president when Richard Nixon resigned in 1974. These were a couple of Midwestern men, and a lot of historians compare the two in the sense they didn't want to be president, they didn't set out to be president, but those, you know, as they like to call it, the fortunes of history made these two men president of the United States. They were both very good men, very distinguished men, and the kinds of people that I think did their country a great deal of good by serving as president, President Truman and President Ford, who passed away on this day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thank you for listening. and we'll talk to you later. Enjoy the cold weather out there. Good night, everybody.